Okay. Do you want me to quickly overview the ukme on the flowers, or you want to get straight into the...
We did ukme on flowers. So
you want to summarize that quickly before we get into the Yerushalmi itself?
This is 240.
Yes, no, yes, no. Yes, no. Okay, fine. So very quickly, then, on the flowers, before we get back to the Yerushalmi, so... Right, Rav Shlomo Zalman raises the suffix. Gam mesubkani bipirchei noi shikra matara noi vayofi she'efter shem gozes v'zomer lishmor al tzoratam dechashav nami ukme ilani v'shari v'tzarach. Iyu, he says, if you have flowers, who the purpose of flowers is to be pretty. That's why they're there, to be pretty. So is maintaining their prettiness ukme, or is it ivruye? Right, I ask this to myself every day when I pass by my not so well tended geraniums during Shemitah, where I keep them alive, but I'm not, I'm watering them enough to keep them alive, but I'm not, you know, watering them enough so that all the flowers grow maximally. I'm not pulling off all the dead leaves. I'm not pulling off all the, you know, but why not, right? Its point is to be pretty. It's not pretty, right? Not that pretty, right? What's the problem? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, well, what's his suffix? His suffix at some level is, well, when it comes to, let's say, flowers, the nature of the flower itself is beauty. So losing beauty maybe should be conceptualized not as, right, as a loss, right? And therefore maintaining its beauty should be looked at as ukme rather than ivruye, right? The Mishpatei Aretz takes this argument. And he says, "Kishem sheyatiru chazal lasut melachad rabbanan b'tzimchei ma'achal kedei la'atzil adamachim l'mno ibud ha'peruk mevuar." Just like by fruit trees, you're allowed to do work to prevent the loss of the fruit, which already he's taking an assumption, like Maral Diskin against against the Rav Kook, right? That you can keep the fruit alive and not just the tree alive. Kach etiru, right? La'asot. No, you can do that to beautiful flowers as well. And he quotes, "Mabet shemut lashkar simchei bosem afal pisher kambuat." You're allowed to water spices, even though they have little value. V'chein katuv b'seder hashvii jehotzi laor mechzosh chalnesh. You know, mitatz machem gedel no pegam nikar bin no yam shalatz machem. So to prevent their death or a significant loss in what their purpose is. However, he clarifies. And he says, even he's not willing to accept, right? The most extreme view would be that that we pass the Gemara Diskin against Rav Kook, that you're allowed to protect the fruit. The fruit of flowers are the flowers, and therefore you're allowed to protect the flowers even during Shemitah, right? That would be the most mach, right? Most megil construal. Usually Aretz is not willing to go that far, and he says, listen, if by not watering now it will forever make your flowers, your whatever, look less beautiful, then that arguably is mutter. Right, that's mutter, because you're allowed to prevent hefsed, and who cares if it's hefsed as in the flower's going to die, or it will forever have lower quality, right? That is, right, he's willing to accept that, right? He's not, but therefore he's not willing to accept. So why is it, right, that even if you think noi is mutter, it probably isn't mutter for me to really tend to my geraniums, right? And the reason is, he says, but if it's a loss of beauty, but only during Shemitah, it won't take much to make it beautiful again after Shemitah, which is basically the case with geraniums, right? Like, you know, they are sturdy winter flowers. So during the winter, they don't really produce much flowers, right? They sort of stay on and then sort of die. But the plants stay healthy and grow a little bit, and as soon as spring comes, right, a million flowers do it. So in the summer, right, normally they'll be really nice the whole summer, right? And if you really take care of them and water them the exact right amount, and you pull off the dead leaves and dead flowers, and right, it'll double and triple the number of flowers and all that stuff, right? That I'm not doing during Shemitah. But, you know, assuming it's still warm weather, so probably the day after Rosh Hashanah, if I do that, you know, it'll be pretty nice again by Sukkot or something, right? And if not, by next year it will, right? They're going to stay alive. So he says, if that's, right, that, he says, you can't then take care of it so that it's beautiful during Shemitah.
But he says
if they're going to die, so then he's willing to accept that even though flowers maybe aren't so expensive, so it's not a huge hefset, it's still the loss of the entire plant,
right?
And if it loses their beauty, right, like the plant will stay alive, but it'll never produce flowers again, right? You'll stunt its growth.
There's no point in it.
Correct. So he says that he's willing to accept, right? What he's not willing to accept is the notion that during Shemitah itself, right? So again, let's just go through the assumptions here, right? The assumptions are, first of all, right, the most machmir would be you just have to let it die. Why? Because if you say it's hefsid, so he said, listen, right? If you say the only heter is hefsid, so you could arguably say that, listen, a flower, big deal. I mean, how much my entire, right, all the geraniums that I put in front of my house, they cost, like, you know, the bigger expense is buying the original soil to make the trellises, right? If you've been to my house, right? Right? The building the wood, right? Building the wood trellises, filling them with the original soil. That was expensive. The flowers themselves, I've already replaced every year or two. You know, it's like when we first built them, I was like, oh, let's have a variety of flowers. And we're like, low bali. And they threw it all out and you buy more. What does it cost? Like the whole thing cost like, I don't know, 250, 300 shekel to get, you know, enough flowers to fill the whole area, right? You know, they grow, right? So you could have said, listen, just let them die, right? Let them die, right? That would have been the most machmir position,
okay.
Right? The most makil position would be, we paskin like, Marl Diskin, that you're allowed to prevent even the loss of the flowers, right? Of the fruit. And the fruit of the flower is the flower, right? And therefore, even the loss of the flower during Shemitah would be mutter, right? That would be a very, very, very makil position. That seems unlikely, especially since, as we saw, one of the reasons to reject the Rav Kook in favor of the Maral Diskin is the belief that fruit specifically you want to protect because of collective ownership for the purpose of eating,
right?
It's very hard to construct a similar argument for flowers. And therefore, I don't think Lamaisa anyone really would tell you, yes, that you can just, fine, but I don't think anyone's going to tell you, yes, yes, yes. I mean, my flowers still grew, right? They're going to say, well, yes, you can maximize the beauty and treat and, you know, treat your geraniums of wood the way you would any other year. I mean, what? Like,
people would want their, like, bushes to be trimmed in their specific shapes. That way it looks nicer. Like, growing when it's growing all random, it doesn't look as nice as when it's been.
Correct. But are you allowed to do all of that during Shemitah? Right? That already seems unlikely. Right? The middle ground, which is you can, that noi is important enough that you can prevent its death in the long term. Right, of the, or its diminishment of quality, right? Or, which is what Mishpat Arad says. And he also says that maybe that the Yesh Omrim Shemeka Shel Tzorach Gadol Afshar Lachshiv Gam Nezek Zmani Benoi Etzmachim LeNezek Nei Shekil Konoi Bolet Biyoter Amachim Rezet Talavo Bracha. Right? And then he says maybe what Josh says, but not quite as extreme. Right? Meaning, he doesn't think anybody is going to say that you can maximize the quality of your flowers. I mean, you can't maximize the quality of your tree either. So maybe if it's a huge loss and it's very, very, very in your face how disgusting it is, right? Like, I don't know, you own you own an institution and you need to impress donors when they're coming, right? And like, they understand it's Shemitah, but there's a difference between it looking decent and looking like, you know, yeah, exactly. And like, why am I putting so much money in this institution that doesn't take care of, right, its premises, right? I'm giving to this yeshiva, I'm giving to this university because they, I assume that they take care of their campus, they take care of their students, right? And I come in and I'm in a jungle, right? So he says, maybe if It's really disgusting, right? And there's loss in not... So then maybe it's mother, and you can see where that would come from, right? But again, no one's going to say you can maintain it like you would in a normal year, because you can't do that to anything, but it's Shemitah, right? But to say that, yes, it's, you know... Now, again, there's two directions that you could generate hetzer. Right? One is to say, is to construe as he seems to be doing it, which is saying there is some sort of hefsid, right? The other is to say, well, if you think that certain things are really not malacha, then they would be mutter even if the hefsid is minimal, right? Or barely existent at all. So that would work for like watering, right? But that, right? So the Mishmei Aretz, you know, comes up with the more makel construals, and you can see where they're coming from. Others take it not as well at all. So the Mishnah Yosef isn't willing to deal with this bechlal. And he quotes, "Hevi bekontras shviat shminet l'maisa ki l'kol tzemach tafkid mishalo." Every plant has its own purpose. So just like you can with fruit trees, you can treat them this way. You can do that with noi, with flowers. But then he says, but he says in the end, the author hesitates. Ubitzedek, and he's right to hesitate. Ki mi yuchal yisod svarot keres ke'ela lahatir malachot shviyet. Who, based on a, what's a svarot keres? So there's, svarot keres is the Hebrew. The Yiddish is a boich svara, right? Right? What keres? Your stomach, right? But it means your gut, right? A boich svara is just something that... It comes from the gut. It's not well thought out. It's like, I think this is true, right? So he's saying, and I'm sure he was thinking voice, right? He's a chassid, right? He's probably thinking the Yiddish, right? Is you can't just be mekel and shemitah because of a boichsvara, right? Because, you know, like, think, people, think, right? Right? That's what he's telling you, right? She'im chazal tir ukmi ilana reza pshuto kimashmo l'kayim et ahali ilan. He said, ukmi means keep the tree alive. Aval ukme anoy to keep it as beautiful as it was. I mean, come on, zeh lo shamanu. This is adiraba, and then he says b'shnat shmita zehu anoy, and he says more than that in shmita that is its beauty. Shelo yehem ubad. Now I will point out that this is like, you know, I sort of hear in this the more like the movement against. It's like the people who don't like perfectly trimmed lawns, right? They're like, oh, just. Feels unnatural, right? They want their backyard to be, you know. I mean, this is not normally right. I mean, this is not normally the case in like Brooklyn or whatever, where maybe you have like three, right? Maybe exactly. Maybe you have like 1 foot of little grass, right? And if it just had, you know, but if you live in, I don't know,
Maryland.
Where do you live again? Where do you live again?
In a meadow.
Where do you live again? Where do you live again?
Harrisburg.
So if you're in Harrisburg, right, I assume they have bigger yards than I was like it's somewhere that has more likely to have a lawn than Mordechai.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
very good. So if you live in if you're in Harrisburg, so then see, you know, for 2 years I had Gavi Spellman in my chair, and he's from Sharon, Massachusetts. And like Sharon is the best example for this, always, because Sharon is, right? Sharon's motto is something having to do with this.
A lawn by every house.
A lawn by every house. My friend is the rabbi there. He has like 3 acres of land with a full zip line, a football size space to play football, and a what's it called? A bonfire pit on his property. Like, it's a different country, and I also have to spend 4 summers there.
My backyard is cement, and it's mostly taken up by a horse.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Imagine having grass.
I mean, I know certain families that are like
that. Yes, right. Its motto is a nice place to live because it's naturally beautiful, right? So, like,
when they're rubbing it in your face.
Look, one of my good friends from Yeshiva was from Sharon, and that was the first time I ever heard about Sharon. And I was like, where are you from? It's like, from Sharon, Massachusetts. I'm like, where is that? He's like, you wouldn't know it. The big deal this year was they just installed either the first or second traffic light in the whole city. And I'm like, okay, right? That's, but, right, there are people who are like, look, you know, a lawn, if you have a nice big several acre backyard, I mean, maybe the little part in front of your house you trim, but there is something natural beauty to just letting it, you know, maybe not completely crazy, right? I mean, some people like really crazy, but like even if not crazy, I mean, he does have a forest in the middle of his property, but even not the forest, I mean, he does have that, but even if you don't have that, right? Right. So even if you like, you take out the big weeds or something, or the ones that have thorns on them, right? But to let the grass grow, right? There is something beautiful. It's a different beauty. So the Mishnah Yosef is saying, and it's beautiful. It's what God wants, you know? I feel in the Kabbal of Svara, now the call Shayna Pula Pula Tikon, Elan Arei Uzum Vitera, the call Shayach at Svara Zu, Rak Lagabi Silu Kesek. And he says, even if you think, right, unless you think, Lundishli, but it's not Malacha, right? So shouldn't it be Mutter? Don't give me. He says, still, he thinks it's only mutter if there's some hezek, right? There's some damage. I'll see look here Hanoi, but the damage that it's not as beautiful for this year, he's like, no matter how you look at it, Harizat Takana, right? The Semach HaTov, that is called Avruye, right? He's like, I don't care that a flower is meant to be beautiful. Doing everything in your power to maximize its beauty, he says, even if you think that the difference in Ukmein Ivruye is that it's not a malacha, that is Ivruye, right? That's what it is. Shalashem kahu nishtal. That is why it was planted. Okay.
I still think that it has a difference between
Yacholiyot. I mean, look, you could argue, right? You could argue. In general, you know, I was like, you know, if I wanted to construct an argument, maybe I could. Okay, but as we know, but what is the main nafkamina? The main nafkamina is not my flowers, right? The big one everyone wants to ask is about cutting grass, right? That is clearly, right? I'm not sure. Meaning, I assume he's Machar, right? The biggest nafkamina, though, is grass, right? Is grass. Everyone wants to know about their lawn. Not so much here. I have a fake lawn, like much of Israel, because we have a water shortage. So many people. That's why you have the plastic. You know. That's why turf is. Still, a lot of people in Israel have turf, right? Instead of, right? Part of the reason is because there's a real water shortage, right? Meaning, remember, it's not like it rains every so often. Right, it rains for 6 months, and for 6 months it doesn't rain. So, like, if you have grass, you must be watering it. Right? It's not like right. No, it's not, and it's not right. Right, the idea that you need a perfectly trimmed grass thing, you know. Yeah. So, like, yeah. So. So I just don't have it. I've turf. Fine. Also, I'm lazy. I mean, come on. Right? Okay. Fine. So, but what about cutting grass? So if you look just very quickly, the Gemara, back in the Gemara in Moed Katan, one of the malachot that we mentioned was kisuach, which, as we said, no one knows what kisuach is, right? No one knows what any of these are. But Rashi says, kisuach basavim shekotech haraim min atovim. It means to cut out the
weeding.
So he says it's cutting out the bad grass from the good grass, which is somewhere between weeding and mowing a lawn. It's not quite. It's not taking out weeds. That's a different malacha. That's like, nikush. Nikush is taking out weeds. It's maybe taking out the brown ones. Maybe it's.
But it's not cutting it shorter.
Correct. So it's not exactly the same. So what do you think about this? So Sternbach actually writes
that
it's mutter, right? That it's mutter. Why? Because he says he's willing to accept a certain amount of noi, svara, and therefore he actually thinks that, yeah, right, if it's not making it grow more, just sort of maintaining the status quo, then it is fine. Now, obviously, if you didn't hold like that, then you would end up being machner. Okay, so that is just a little bit on beauty, but let's...
But if your lawn was already, like, really messy and you decided to sneak here, this year I want to make it more beautiful.
Well, that would definitely be awesome, right? Obviously, right? That's I mean, right? That's, you know, paradigmatic. Right, I mean, that is literally, that is okay, the paradigm of it being usher.
You have to worry about, like, when you're cutting them down, you're going to, like, cut, a, like, a dandelion or something, and no. The seeds are going to get everywhere, and you're growing.
No, no, but hold on. Okay. So now let's move to the question of, does the Yerushalmi hold at this at all? Right? Again, so we saw it quickly, but I want to show you the inside. Okay. I'm going to read through the Mishnah quickly and show you why we're not doing all of this inside. Okay? This is how it actually sounds. I know I gave you the introduction. Now watch why I didn't make you do it all inside from the beginning. Okay? Halacha bet. Mizablin. You can... What's Mizablin? Oh, very good. Wait, why don't you get your art scroll and follow along with me just for a few minutes of chaos. Okay, so, mizablin, you can put out fertilizer, okay? Ume'adrin, and you can do idur, which as we saw is, according to some, is sort of harisha. Why is it harisha? Who knows? Right? Bimikshaot v'midlaot. In a place where you make, where you grow,
melons and gourds.
Thank you. That's the words. Ad Rosh Hashanah, v'chein b'veda shlachim, as well as in a irrigated field, right? Okay. Miyablin.
I like how one guy says mizablin again.
Right. So miyablin, which is
excising blemishes.
So taking off blemishes, or that's only one pshita. Who holds it's taking off blemishes?
Tzavuna.
Right, so some hold that. Others hold that it's cutting off dry branches. Umifarkin. So Rambam says it's taking off some of the leaves to lighten the load.
What's
that? Tosfot says in order to allow the sun through, right? The Rosh Cirilio says it's that this one is to take off the dry leaves. So remember, some said that was Miablin, some say that's Mefarkin. And that's only the three that they quote in the art scroll, and then the Mishnah Yosef has a few more to boot. Okay. Me'avkin, you can cover with dirt. Why would you do that? So, according to the Rivmatz, the Rosh, and the Rosh, and Rashi, that is to recover the roots with dirt after they got uncovered during the winter. The Ravid says, is you put certain, like, medicine or something, or spices or something, to make the tree better. The Rambam has yet another perish, right? Me'ashmin, smoke. Well, you smoke it to get rid of bugs. That's the Rambam and the Rivmatz. Some say that you burn spices, which is what we just said the previous one, because it makes it grow better. That's the Ravid. Ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah, you can even take the leaf off. What does that mean? Well, that means some say that's going against Mifarkin. Some say it's talking about something else. Misalkin, you can clear rocks out of the field. Mikarsimin, you can either cut off dry branches, or you can cut off the tops of the branches so that it grows more, or you can cut off the extra, right?
So either can be maintaining status quo,
yes, keeping it from dying. Right, or you can cut the branches from the roots, right? Right now, you understand the problem, is that, as I said, each one of these, it's not clear what they are, and then in each one of them, you got to figure out, well, doesn't that sound like
Avruyeh?
So how, why is it only Mitzri Derabbanan? Why is it only Mitzri Derabbanan? So like I said, the big challenge here is that each one of them, it's not clear what they are. Right. Well, each one of these malachot is unclear what it is, right? And in order to figure out Ukmeh and Avruyeh and these malachot, you need to do two things at the same time. Is you need to figure out what you think this is, figure out how it fits into Ukmeh Avruyeh, or alternatively, figure out what this is and then figure out what it tells you about Ukmeh Avruyeh, but then you have to do that 25 times over, right? So then you do it for Misalkin, you do it for Makarsimin, you do it for Mizardin, you do it for Mephalsin, right? You do it for, then you have Rabbi Arashan, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Kizi Rudag, Rizal Shacham Yishit, Kain Shal Shishit. Rabbi Shimon Omer calls Manshin Rashai Bode Yelan, Ani Rashai, calls Manshin Rashai Nelan, Rashai Befisu Lo, right? And just in case you thought it was over, I just want you just for a second, just to torture yourselves, right? Look at Halacha Dalet. Because don't worry, the list isn't over, which is, Halacha Gimel first. Halacha Gimel, which is Mizam in any field, Bekorchon Otan, Bekot Notan, Osim Lenbatim, Mashkin Otan, Rosh Hashanah, right? You have another few over there, which is, right? Mizahamin. What's Mizahamin? Korchin. What's that? Kotmin. What's that? Osen Lambatim. What's that? Right? And then you get Mishneh, right? Which is Sachin et Apagin, Menachvin Otan. And then you get the case of Pagin. And then Halacha Vav, you get Notin, Mavrichin, Markivin. Right? And then you get the difference between 30 days before, 2 weeks before the 30 days, 3 days before that. Like I said, remember I told you, I'm not going to totally kill you. This is what I was talking about. This is what's giving me a headache for 6 months, right? I can't move because each line here is killing me. And I didn't just read the footnotes. I sat there and read every Rishon and tried to figure out what was going on. And did the hard work of, right, okay, how does this fit with Ukmeh and Avruyeh? What does it mean? What does this look like? I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I still don't understand what's going on, right? So anyway, that's the problem with these halachot. Okay. By the way, and just in case you wonder the way Chazal choose to organize, just remember that this is all brought up in the context of Tosefet Shvi'it, which means that this is the source for all these Surim Drabbanan in Shemitah. However, there is no Mishnah that says these are also during Shemitah. And therefore, we learn all these halachot of what's also during Shemitah by implication of what is Mutter in Tosefet Shvi'it. But sometimes there are distinctions in Tosefet Shvi'it that might change things, right? So, you know.
Can you give me an example?
Right, meaning none of this is direct, right? Everything we're learning at Shemitah is by implication,
right?
But that means that there is no Mishnah that actually tells you the rules of Shemitah. So if there's some weird rule of Tosefet Shvi'it.
Right.
Right.
Was there implication on Tosefet,
right? Meaning, all these, the context of all the Malachot Derabbanan and Shemitah, the source for all of them in the Mishnah is, these are the things that are only Mutter in Tosefet Shvi'it. And by implication, they're also during Shemitah. But you never actually have the Mishnah anywhere that says, and these are the Malachot Derabbanan in Shemitah. It doesn't happen. And therefore, if you were expecting a programmatic statement that would explain to you why these are Usher, you're not going to get it because we literally never say it's Usher during Shemitah. We got that by implication. A clear implication, admittedly, right? But
define clear.
Meaning, it's like, instead of me telling you, trying to think of a good example, right? Right, instead of like, if you remember before Dubai, right? Right, Wasserman was like, make sure to right, be dressed in yeshiva, the official yeshiva dress code in Dubai, right? Instead of saying that, right, he would say, it's okay to be somewhat more lax on the dress code when we're in yeshiva. And you're supposed to draw by implication that it's not true when we're in Dubai. But he never actually said it, and therefore, try asking a question, right? If he said, this is the rules, this we have to keep when you're in yeshiva, this we have to keep when you're Dubai, whatever, and you said, okay, I have some questions about that, that works. But if he says, well, you could be somewhat more lax now, right, implying you can't then you have to say, well, you could be lax now. Oh, wait, so then what is it that I can't be lax on, right, then, right? That doesn't work as well, right? It doesn't, right? But that's essentially what the Mishnah did, right? Which is, these are the malacha. They are malacha, but they're malacha derabanan. So, you know, you can. Something was in my show. The twins crawl around and like garbage. It's like they find it, like stick in shoes. So every so often I'm like, what is in my shoe?
Were any of your children actually farmers?
Probably, I'm sure.
I don't know. Not just like saying random things, but like oh, this is
I am sure some of them were involved in farming. He's not a Risho. Yeah, I'm sure that some of them were farmers. I mean, I don't know what they had. I mean, Rashi probably wasn't a vintner, but you know,
everybody says he was.
People say a lot of things. He probably wasn't. It's part of that lore, but I don't know. Presumably, somebody was.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody grew grapes.
And at some point,
correct, and growing grapes doesn't mean you can't be a Talmud Chacham,
no,
right?
Saying, like,
it is possible.
That they would know, like they would understand this thing better, and probably have a more accurate explanation.
Oh, sure.
Of what's going
on. I also think that they would have done at least some research.
So you could try, but it's not so easy. It's not like they have Google, right? They and to figure out what the agriculture is like in Israel is not so easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Right, and then as you see, the Gemara here goes through a lot of the details. But what I want to do is, once you have that background, turn towards the bottom of Tedamon Aleph. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, right, five lines in the bottom. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af notel hu et ha'ala min ha'eshkol bashvi'it. Right, you can take off the leaf from the eshkol during Shemitah, which, as we saw, could mean, have you already forgotten all the possibilities? Do you remember what that was?
Either to light the load or to make...
Lighten the load, let the light through, right, all the different things.
I only remember two.
Whatever it is. So the Gemara says, Mechalfei shite de Rabbi Shimon. This, Rabbi Shimon's shita contradicts what he says somewhere else. Namely what? Tamin and Tana, Tanin and Taman, we learn there in the later Mishnah, Mim marsin eta orez bishviit divrei Rabbi Shimon avalal mikaschin. You can do something. Very good. You can mim marsin. Let's for the moment assume that means
stir
to make like mud or something during Shemitah, but you can't do kisuach, right? You can't cut the right. Mikaschin has something to do with cutting leaves down, right? Something. Not clear what, cutting it shorter, as we saw from Rashi and Maikatan, cutting out the bad ones, right? But maybe it is also similar to mowing the lawn, who knows? V'cha amer hachein. Right? And here he says that you're allowed to take off the leaf. What's the difference between the two of them, right?
One's excess, someone isn't.
What?
One's excess, someone you're using it for.
Great. So what is the more answer? Shanaya hu hachi shehu kematzil min hadileka. This is different because it is like saving it from a fire.
Yeah.
Which
one is this?
Yeah.
Right? So taking off the leaf, presumably, is mutter because it is saving it from a fire.
Okay.
But kisuach
is more than saving it from a fire?
Yes, right? That is, I want you to know, that is all we know, right? Right, the Gemara said that Shimon says kisuach is aser, whatever kisuach is, right? And taking off the aleh is mutter. Isn't that a contradiction? The Gemara answers, no. Taking off the leaf is matzil min hatleka. Right? See, it's if you save the eshkol, you save the cluster from a fire. And kisuach is not that, and therefore usur. Now all is clear.
Yeah.
Right? All is clear. I want to point out what is unclear on these few lines. So only a few things. What is kisuach? What is meisir et ha'alem in ha'eshkol? What is matzil min hadleika?
How are they all connected?
What is the opposite of matzil hadleika? And then, and what is going further than matzil min hadleika? Very good. Very good. So,
do you have markers here?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, right? Yes. So, okay. Right? So, again, this is one of the two or three key Rishonis in this discussion. Again, this is what we know. I will remind you what we know, okay? This is what we know. That kisuach is usur, right? And meisir ha'ala min ha'eshkol
is mutter.
Is mutter. This is what we know, okay? This is what we know. Now, admittedly, part of this, in order to figure out, we'd have to figure out the difference between kisuach and what kisuach is and what mesner is. But we'll leave that, okay? Right? And why is that? All we know is that this is matzil min hadleika, and this is more.
Wait, why can't you say that?
Kisuach? That is what we know.
I can say kisuach is matzil min hadleika.
Whoa!
And
this is what we know.
How do we know that the matzil min hadleika?
Because we're trying to figure out why this is mutter and this is
no. Usur. It may be matzil min hadleika is usur.
No, that's very impossible. I mean, that's very impossible. I mean, you could try to figure out why that seems very impossible.
Matzil min hadleika is
mutter. Now this is more good. What's the problem? Right now we got to figure out is how do we understand this? So. You tell me,
okay,
so right now, methodologically, you tell me what is about to happen. Okay, first of all, what clue do we have that may or may not be a clue? Right, this goes back to our first few weeks in Yeshiva, right? And that is two words that may or may not be a clue. What are those two words? Okay. And we know, right? What do we know? Right? We have a structure that's similar to what we have in the Bavli, and that is, okay, watch what we have. Is that Malacha Derabanan or Daraita? Derabanan. Kisuach? Derabanan. Okay, so now we have two Derabanan Malacha, one of which is. Now, how do we know these are derabanan?
This is
because they're not in the pasuk and because they're mutter and tosefet shviit. That's the point.
This is assuming that okay.
Wait, but we know, but these are the ones that are mutter and tosefet shviit. So these are derabanan, right? With me so far? Good. We also know that the Gemara thinks that they should be equivalent, right? Equivalent.
Which way?
And Kamash Malan, they're not equivalent. One is Usur and one is Mutter. Where do we have a similar structure?
With the Samson and Bavli.
In the Bavli. Kishkush, which is Usur, Kishkush, which is Mutter, right? We had a seeming contradiction, and the Gemara there solved it by saying Ukmei versus Ivruyi. So, if you were in Akron, who was motivated by equating Bavli and the Yerushalmi.
You would say Matzah min Adleika, the same thing as Lachmai.
Very good. You would just say Matzah min Adleika equals
Ukme. And therefore, what is
more than matzah than hadleika?
Very good. Right?
That would be case closed. If you were in Achron that read the Bavli in light of the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli, then this is what you would end up with. Right? So who, for example, does this? Rashi Derilio. Right? Rashi Derilio says, very simple. Klomar, dinitilat alin shel eshkol, lo have ivruye elana. Right? When you take the leaves off, it's not ivruye. Ela ka'adama matzil minad leka. It's like saving it from a fire. Shirotzeh yitbashel ha'eshkol b'shaveh. You want it to ripen equally. Aval gabe orez. But the kisuach, the muddying of the things by the rice. Ivruye hu ba'asur. This is ivruye. Right? So clearly what he has in mind is, right? This is making the rice grow better. We call that in halacha ivruye, and that's asur. And this is not. You're just trying to make it grow evenly, which apparently is maintaining, right? And matzil minad leka, when we say it's saving it from fire, what we mean is you are maintaining it. You're not letting it be destroyed.
Well,
that's what it.
So another one can be.
Is that not what the Rashi Derilio just did?
Okay.
Right? The Rashi Derilio just said, I don't know what any of these words mean, but I see a similar structure to the Bavli, right? I see two malachot derabanan, which the, at first glance, both should either be usur or both should be mutter, right? The Gemara then says they're different. One of them is mutter because it's matzah malat leika, and the other is usur, and it doesn't say why. And he says, well, what's the word to fill in there? Ivruye, right? Well, if he's solving the problem by saying kisuach is usur because it's ivruye, right? As opposed to meser halam and eshkol, which is not ivruye, then it must be that ivruye, the opposite of ivruye, is ukme, and therefore matzah and adleika is the same as ukme. And therefore, he looks at it and he says, the conclusion is the Yerushalmi holds the same as the Bavli. Yes? Right? Yes?
Yeah.
You agree? So far, do we agree that it seems to be that what the right. So far, all I want, right? All I want is. Is he, or is he not, right, reading the Bavli into the Yerushalmi?
Oh, yes.
Good. And how do I know that he's doing that if my diuk wasn't correct enough? V'chi haigavna mishani b'avodazara perek Rabbi Yishmael. He says, and this is what the Gemara means in Avodazara daf nun amud bet. So he tells you explicitly that what motivates his reading is the belief that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are saying the same thing. Right? Now, wait. Therefore, what did we learn in this? At first glance, we don't learn much, except that he thinks the Bavli and the Yerushalmi mean the same thing. Except,
he explains what Ukme and Ivruye is.
But we actually sort of get a clarification of what Ukme means. Because he says, what does Ukme mean?
Prevent from dying.
It means prevent.
Well.
Right? Well, so this is the problem.
Is it maintaining?
Right?
Because it would, because if you protect it from a fire, it still stays at the same status. But a fire would not only ruin its status, but would also ultimately kill it.
Oh,
so,
very
so
good. So now,
is the most ambiguous term they
good.
Could have used.
So this is the Rashi Derilio P, the Bavli. But Mordechai says, wait, okay. He's like, I understand that this has a similar structure to the Bavli. Two malachot derabanan, one is usur, one is mutter, but let's just look at the words. Okay?
It says,
ukme means maintain. What does maintain mean?
To
keeping it from getting worse.
Keeping it from getting worse. What does Matzil Menhadlika literally mean?
Saving it from a fire.
Correct. So let me give you a... Let me put this in very stark terms, okay? On a regular basis, we tell you guys, please, please, keep your... We don't need your apartment to be beautiful, but keep it livable, right? Keep it livable, right? We all understand that that is called what we call ukme. Just don't, right? Don't let it be a mess. Don't make it that when we walk in, there's a smell, right? Please, right? We beg you, right? Be human beings. That's what we call ukme, right? Keep your apartment in living order. That's ukme. But we all understand that under normal circumstances, if inevitably some of you don't do that, and I've been to some of the apartments, and there are times of this year where ukme is not the word I would use, right? But when I go in, right, there's maybe a smell that shouldn't be there. There's maybe some things on the floor that shouldn't be there. Maybe some things in the sink that shouldn't be there. Yes, yes, exactly. Sometimes I do that. I have done that.
What?
Chatasi. Right? Right? And it was not ukmeid, right? But what was it?
It was not burning.
Right. However, whatever it was 2 years ago, when we actually had a fire and the apartment burnt down, right?
That's a little bit more than...
Right? That was what we call a dleka, right? And if you asked me which was a bigger mess, right? 35. 35 on a normal day, or what was it? It was a 39. 39 when it literally burnt to the ground. Which was a bigger mess, I would say? 39, when, you know, all the people who were in 39 showed up for like a week until they managed to actually get themselves together and go to the mall with the money that we gave them to go buy new clothes, came in like whatever they had been wearing, right? When they ran out of the fire, right? That was all they had, right? That was like a different madriga, right? So the simple shot in the words, as Mordechai says, is wait a second. Ukme means you're allowed to maintain, right? Matzil min hadleika means you can stop it from burning down, right? So, or to put it slightly differently, okay? Let's say we add a new taranut, okay? You are the, which would you rather be? The ukme taran, right? Or the matzil min hadleika taran? You'd rather be the Muslim in Adleika Taran. My only job is to make sure this place doesn't burn down. Right. It could be a mess. It could be whatever. Right? If it's not on fire, if it's not on fire, then I'm doing my job. Right? Okay? That's a Muslim in Adleika Taran. Right? If you are an Ukme Taran, right? That means... Yes, we're not telling you that you need to, you know, polish the windows. Right? We are saying, you know...
Don't have pile of garbage.
Correct, right? Ukme is more demanding than Matzil and Adleika. Matzil and Adleika is a much higher bar of badness, and therefore it takes less effort, right, to prevent it. Right? So Mordechai says...
Right?
Yeah.
You got an honorary smicha.
Right? He says...
Very simple. Matzil min hadleika is a, depends how you look at it, is a higher standard, right? Meaning it is matir less. I don't know. How do you want to write this? Right? I want to make it clear. Is matir less, right, than ukme, i.e., requires less work,
right? If that's the case, then what could go here?
Ukme.
Ukme. Right?
It could be the case of his maintenance.
I'll also put a question mark by three, because it could play out.
It could be, right now, right? Lavdasa, right? It could be
Matzil min hadleika versus ukme. It could be Matzil min hadleika. It could be Minakatze lakatze with an undefined middle.
Yeah.
right? Right? So look at the Gra. Look at the Gra at the bottom. Okay? The Gra is quite clear about this. The Gra says, Umishani Shanayahu, Perish, She'em lo yi tol, yiye hefseid gadol. Right? What is Matzah Manat Leika? Big loss. Right? Similar in Ksav Yad Bet, on the right-hand side. Hacha im lo yitol yehev said, gadol lochein matir rash kan. Now, it's a little bit less clear in the Likot Mishnah Eliyahu, right? If you look on the right-hand side of the page, where he says, Matzah Manat Leika is perish shekan Eino mashbiach b'shvil ze ilan, ela shu pula shelo yitkalkel ha'ilan. Right? What? So he says an action, right, that doesn't make it better, but makes it not get, right, yitkalkel, get worse. Right? So there, that sounds a little bit more like Ukmeh versus Ivruyeh, but there is a difference. Right? I wouldn't make something to Yukim Likot Mishneh Eliyahu for the following reason. That the Likut Mishnah Eliyahu is taken from where?
The students?
No, it's on the Mishnah, right? Now it could be that in the Mishnah, what is he saying? That he's reflecting the Bavli, uh-huh. Right? Because it could be that he thinks la halacha, the correct standard is Ukmeh versus Ivruyeh based on the Bavli, and therefore on the Mishnah, right? So for our purposes, all I want to do is look at the Be'er Hagra on the Yerushalmi, right? What he actually writes in the words in the Yerushalmi. Is that Matzah Manat Leika is preventing Hefsed Gadol. That sounds like...
Is that the difference between Sivan and Sivan?
Right? That sounds like a higher standard than... Right? That sounds like a higher standard than...
What's the difference between these two?
They're just different versions. Oh. I published different times. I don't know. Second, So the million-dollar question that we have, therefore, is is the Yerushalmi's standard the same as the Bavli standard? Now, give me a svara. So far we've just set out the structure, right? Right, we've just set out the structure, right? But give me a svara. Why, right? So Mordechai, you want to say what the Gra seems to be saying, right? What the Gra seems to be saying, right? Which is...
Well, I don't want it, but...
What?
I don't want it, but...
Meaning, what you're suggesting is that the simple shot in the Yerushalmi might be... That Matzah Manat Leika is a different standard, right? Meaning, it allows less, right? Then the Bavli's Ukmeh versus Ivruyeh. Why? Right? Why? The words definitely make that very possible. Why would that be? But why would you say such a thing?
Because we don't necessarily
want to. Well, so first of all, you just say, well, why do I need you to, right? Why should I line it up? Very good. Okay, go ahead. Okay, good.
So we don't know what Master Ahala and Kisua is yet.
So tell me what this might hang on.
Whether...
And maybe we'll end with this and we'll come back to it tomorrow. Well, I'll work back. What is clearly the standard here? What does he say? Right? Matzah Manat Leika, what is this clearly saying?
Hafsid.
Hafsid. Right? Matzah Mumpleka means there'll be a real loss. Right? If I don't do this. Right? That's clear. Matzah Mumpleka is some sort of Hafsid standard. Right? You're preventing a major loss. What might this now?
Now
there's two ways. So now there are two ways to, if you think this is not the same as the Bavli, there are two ways of thinking about this. One is that, remember we saw in Ukme, what is Ukme? Why is Ukme mutter?
Either because it's
not a malacha or some
what?
Not a malacha or some.
Either it's not a malacha or it's malacha and it's mutter mishum hefsed.
Yeah.
So if you think that Ukme is not a malacha, that's what it means, right?
Yeah.
Then, by justifying certain malachot because of hefsid, what is it? What the Yerushalmi is clearly going against the Bavli. Right? I mean, if you think what hukmei means is maintain acts that are of maintenance are not malacha, then they don't need a hefsid standard, and therefore the Bavli justifying it through ukmei, which means maintenance is not a malacha, is different than justifying it based on hefsid. So if you think that ukme means it's mutter mishum hefsid,
according to the Bavli,
is mutter because it's not a malacha, and then the Yerushalmi says, well, it's only mutter because you're preventing loss, they're saying two different things. The Bavli is saying there are certain malachot that are not really malachot. The Yerushalmi comes and says, no, all agricultural work is work. But the Rabbanan work and there's real loss, I will let you be matur. And therefore, the Bavli is coming up with a non-milacha conceptualization. Right? And that's why it has, is less, right, allows more. And the Yerushalmi is basing it on hefsid. So if you thought ukmei meant it's not a malacha, and then you see the words matzah min adleika, which sounds like it's only mutter because of hefsid.
Have to mean mutter because of hefsid.
Yeah, it sort of does. I mean, you doesn't have to, right? You're right. You could look at it and say matzah min adleika, so it is, I don't know.
It's still possible, but we feel bad.
So we're going to see that. I know what you're getting at, but it's hard. Okay, fine. You know what? I'll let Josh say it now, because it may not be pshat here, but it does seem to be pshat in Yerushalmi just a little bit later, right? Just a little bit later, but we'll get to it. Okay? No. What else? So I would say the simplest pshat is that Matzah Madlake is a hefsid standard, and therefore, why would I say it's different than the Bavli? Either because I think that ukme is about it not being a malacha, and therefore matzah mumpleka, which seems to be a hefsid standard, is a different standard, right? You could, of course, say, no, it's a quantitatively different standard, right? Meaning, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both think that you can make a malacha the rabbanim because of hefsid, and they argue about how big of a hefsid. So maybe the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, maybe they're not identical, but they're only different in degree,
okay.
Right? Josh wants to go in the opposite direction and say, no, maybe both above, maybe matzil min hadleika is the same as ukme. And what does matzil min hadleika mean?
It means
you don't want it to be a hefsid standard, then what is it?
It's about, it's just not a, if matzah doesn't apply.
Why? You're onto something, but why?
Because you're not doing anything to the
very good. Very good. So the question, very good. So this is what you are, well, this is what we'll see, is that what is the emphasis of matzah min hadleika? Is it
the
dleika that it's preventing hefsid, or that matzah, what does matzah imply? It's external, right? That it's external, right? That the point is that you're keeping damage away, but you're not really doing anything to the fruit itself. Right? So,
but then that becomes so fuzzy, because what if there's like a fungus that's on the plant? Is that considered external?
Very good. And that is going to be the discussion that, right?
Yeah.
Very good. So what we have to do is focus on tomorrow is finish fleshing this out. Hopefully we'll get through this sugya, right? If we do, then maybe I'll torture you with the second sukkah that implies it, right?
Yeah.
Which
is it in this halacha
or is it, let me just find it. It's either this halacha or the next one. It is, one second, is it this one? One second. It is.
What?
What do you mean words?
This is even more than that.
One second. It is. Where is it? Oh, here. It is. Yeah, here. It's. If you look at the other one is if you look on Yud, Amud Aleph, at the end of the yeah, where Yud Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, if you look at, you'll see that on the context of Sachin. Right?
The smearing oil.
The smearing oil. So what you're going to see there, not that it's external to the thing, which we will see, some people think it's external. That's another issue. That's the Oseh Batin, right? But there, and maybe we'll do that also, but it possibly pushes it even farther and makes one more distinction just to make your life even more nightmarish, and that is... Avodat Ilan versus Avodat Peiro.
Yeah.
Is there a difference whether you're, right? There's, what if I'm not touching the tree at all? What if I'm touching the tree? And what if I'm touching the fruit? Because that's an in-between, right? Because the fruit is not external, but it's also not as fundamental. So this is yet another distinction that may become relevant in the...
Didn't Rav Kook say that the fruit is the most fundamental, and therefore
you... Yeah, you know.
Don't worry about it.
Not, oh. Yes, but the Kilat Yaakov doesn't agree. Okay.